You get called to Trump Tower. You get vetted. You get picked. You perhaps go through a nasty confirmation process in the Senate. You get sworn in. Well, now what? You might not even know how to sign up for federal benefits, much less find your place in a vast bureaucracy. But onboarding, as the HR people call it, is as important for political appointees as it is for a new GS-12. Joining me with findings from a new study of political onboarding, Paul Lawrence, Public Sector Vice President at Kaiser Associates. Paul, good to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be back with you.
You did a study and talked to a lot of political appointees from the Obama era and found that onboarding was really a problem for them. Tell us more.
Well, right. And as you alluded on the lead-in, it's almost like sink or swim. And that's not too much of an exaggeration, where they show up and pretty much they're on their own. And so when we talked to political appointees in some of our previous work, all of them mentioned this, that they wish there was some sustained kind of activity that better helped them understand how to be successful. And so what we're seeing in the private sector, for example, is they really understand that these very important executives need information, context, insights to help them be successful.
And where can that reasonably be expected to come from?
Well, that's actually the challenge. And so in our report, we talk about it being decentralized and provided by the department. We think some of the information is so specialized and so context-centric that it has to be given in the department. For example, the department will be best at explaining the culture. The department will be at best at introducing the new appointees to the people they need to talk to. The people in the department, especially the bosses or the leaders, will be best explaining to them what they exactly want them to do in the job.
Why do you suppose that hasn't happened traditionally or historically?
I don't know the answer to why it hasn't happened, but what's interesting is over the last 20 years, there has been a steady beat of people saying it is needed. We did some research going back to the 80s where people were identifying this need, and it was escalating. I think this is a little bit lagging behind, as you mentioned in the introduction to our conversation, that onboarding for senior executive services as a senior executive folks is maturing. I think this is the next evolution. But again, they're often like without a home, right? The SES and OPM cares greatly about them. Political appointees, not so much.
And what did the appointees that you spoke with say the consequences were of them not having a really good onboarding process?
Well, so a little bit of sort of getting connected, right? I spent probably a little more time than I would like sort of understanding what it is, what it means to work in the federal government. The classic example is people not being explained the important rules, or something we call like the elements of the job, where they don't understand the ethics or the hiring rules and things like that, where they always get themselves in trouble and it distracts the department when you have to work through those issues.
So there's really an opportunity cost in terms of time and in many cases perhaps in terms of initial credibility for those people.
Right. And the way, you think about effectiveness in just sort of two kind of flavors, right? You just sheer volume of the work you can do, right? So you're better at it because you understand where you're doing it and the department and what you're supposed to do. But it's the speed to being effective. The sooner you can understand, all these things, the sooner you can actually do the job the president called you to do.
We're speaking with Paul Lawrence, Public Sector Vice President at Kaiser Associates. And so what would a good, thorough onboarding system or process for political appointees look like?
Well, it's a couple things. So first, it's the way you think about the content. And so we describe the content people need in four broad categories, something we call the basics. How do I become an employee of the federal government? I show up. What do I actually do to get a card that lets me in all the buildings? Then there's the essentials. What are the rules? I just alluded to that. Then, and here's where it gets more complicated, the job. What do I need to know about my job? Again, here you begin to see why it's so important the department teaches you this. And then finally, how do I become effective? We call it becoming effective. How do I succeed? So you can imagine the traditional orientation courses, but eventually it's going to evolve to much more one-on-one learning, meetings, face-to-face conversations. You could imagine site visits. If your department is such that going places and seeing things really helps you understand. And finally, and this is something we learned from the Department of State, social events and the like, or you engage your spouse or your significant other. These things help you better understand what's required for you can be effective.
Now, having followed these things for many years, what do you think could be the situation, say, well, let's just put it on the table, EPA, where the incoming politicals are likely to have very different views about what the agency should be doing than the people career there have been used to for the past 8, maybe even 16, maybe even 24 years. So there might be a level of mistrust of the people coming in. How can that be overcome?
Well, so, you know, in a perfect world, what we recommend is the deputy secretary or the deputy administrator in the EPA's case, right, would be responsible for onboarding. So there would be a sustained program. Part of that, I think, would be, you know, the meetings with the key people in the department, and they wouldn't all be, or in the agency, they wouldn't all be just political appointees. They would be significant people. So it isn't always just the titles, but, you know, the people in the organization who really help the trains run on time. So I don't know that that's as simple as that simply overcomes the mistrust. But when you get people together and they're working together, you see that. I think that's one way to begin to do that, right? But again, you know, it isn't going to happen in an orientation course where some abstract person comes in and talks to the political appointees for an hour, and then they run through the building, you know, unsupervised and, you know, uninformed.
And what about how to scale up something like this? Because there are potentially, or, you know, in theory, 4,000 political jobs. I don't think any administration ever has more than, say, 2,000 of them in place. But still, that's a big number. And so how do you scale a program, especially in the short time right after transition?
Yeah, well, I think you hinted at a couple things, right? One is it actually has to exist. So I think, you know, you could imagine each department having a program. But also, I think what you're hinting at is the appointees show up in rolling waves, right? So one could imagine this would be, we recommend ongoing over their first year. Maybe it starts every month as new people come in and they go through this program. But you have to keep doing it. And as you alluded to it, the cost of not doing it probably ought to be thought about, right? We've all know the stories of people who get themselves in trouble, do something that embarrasses the department on the Washington Post front page because they just didn't know and nobody had told them.
And you looked extensively at the State Department, a lot of examples from there. And one thing I see in there is with the ambassadorial training courses for people coming in there, that's very mission related. So that it's not just federal government, but an onboarding process has to include something about what the agency specifically does.
Exactly. Imagine, you know, being an ambassador, your scenario of the president's called you up, you've contributed, been part of the campaign, whatever, you're going to go to different, how can you possibly know all these things? They spend 3 weeks teaching folks how to be ambassadors, understanding what you do. It's really quite impressive. And a couple things about that is, one is they're doing what we consider best practice for onboarding in the federal government. And two is they do it before confirmation. They do it in the period after they've been nominated and before confirmation. So we've tended to believe that period is a hands-off period, but it is a chance where onboarding could be conducted.
Paul Lawrence is Public Sector Vice President at Kaiser Associates. Great insight. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
We'll post the full report and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.